This is Tech News Briefing. I'm Tanya Bustos at the Wall Street Journal's annual WSJ Tech Live Conference held in Laguna Beach, California. All this week, we'll be bringing you headlines and onstage interviews from the conference. The event kicked off Monday with FCC Chairman Ajit Pai and included an evening interview with Facebook Chief Technology Officer Mike Schrepfer. We'll get to those, but first, a few tech headlines. On stage Monday at WSJ Tech Live, Dallas Mavericks owner Mark Cuban stood by the NBA's support of free speech. The league came under pressure from China to apologize after the Houston Rockets general manager voiced support on Twitter for protesters in Hong Kong. Mr. Cuban said that if Daryl Morey, the Rockets GM who issued the tweet earlier this month, worked for the Mavericks, he wouldn't reprimand the executive or punish him for the tweet, saying, quote, "Daryl Morey can say whatever he wants," end quote. Facebook has announced it is taking new steps intended to protect the integrity of the 2020 U.S. elections, including a clearer identification of state-run media on its platform. In a statement on its website, the company said it would begin flagging media outlets as being wholly or partially under the editorial control of their home government. Early next year, the company plans to extend the labeling to specific posts and to Instagram, which is owned by Facebook. The company also pledged to support more prominent labels on posts proven false by third-party fact-checkers. Back here in Laguna Beach, Twitter on Monday announced it's planning new rules around certain doctored or faked content. Twitter's head of legal and public policy, Vijaya Gadde, announced at WSJ Tech Live that the company will seek public comment on rules to address what she called synthetic and manipulated media, or deepfakes. The move would push the company deeper into the tricky role of determining which content to remove or hide on its platform. We note the Wall Street Journal has a commercial agreement to supply news through Twitter and Facebook. Also at the conference, FCC Chairman Ajit Pai discussed a key issue looming over D.C. as of late, how to regulate big tech. He said technology companies should be regulated in some form to level the playing field with highly regulated telecommunications and broadband providers. We'll have more from his interview at the WSJ Tech Live conference after the break. WSJ Tech Live 2019 kicked off Monday in Laguna Beach, California. The Wall Street Journal's annual conference tackles the biggest issues impacting tech and business. Kicking things off this year was FCC Chairman Ajit Pai, who sat down with WSJ's Media and Marketing Bureau Chief Amol Sharma. As big tech and big government continue to collide, the chairman discussed how we should aim to regulate tech behemoths like Apple, Google, and Amazon. Specifically, he addresses when the U.S. government needs to get involved.
Everybody in the internet economy should face the same rules, whether it is consumer privacy, deciding what is published and what is not. These are the kinds of things that, from a consumer perspective at least, should be regulated in a uniform way. And so one of the reasons why I wrote that blog post, why I gave a speech in November of 2017, was simply to say, look, everybody here needs to be on the same level playing field. And as you pointed out in your question, the Federal Communications Commission that I have the privilege of leading does not directly regulate in this space. Any further decisions about how or to what extent to regulate those companies would have to be made by Congress. But the conversation has really developed in a very unexpected way.
You were ahead
way.
Of your time.
I would like to say so, that now you see members of both parties, members of both houses of Congress now deciding how should we update these rules, if at all, to address some of these consumer concerns. And I'm not sure where things are going to go. I think it's in part going to depend on the particular company, the particular sector, and what the type of issue is that legislators have in mind. But I think the conversation is much more advanced than it was before. And some of the things we're hearing now about breaking up companies or changing the law, these are things that are unthinkable just a few years ago.
Other key topics discussed on stage included the race to 5G, streaming, and of course, net neutrality.
The streaming wars are upon us, right? Let's just say Disney, which is launching Disney Plus, decides to pay a surcharge to Comcast, works out a deal so that for Comcast broadband customers in a third of the country, Disney Plus is prioritized and works just a little bit better, faster, more stable than Netflix or HBO Max or some startup video service. Is there anything to stop them now from doing that?
That's a good question. The question is one of case-by-case analysis. And so the basic point we made is that one could envision both pro-competitive and anti-competitive prioritization arrangements. Pro-competitive would be essentially delivering a service to consumers faster in a way that they would find appealing. Things like zero rating, for example, have proven largely popular with customers. On the other hand, you could envision anti-competitive ones where essentially you're blocking out unaffiliated smaller competitors from the marketplace. And my simple point was not to say that all of them are good or all of them are bad. It's simply to have the regulatory humility to say at the front, we can't know whether every single arrangement for all time is going to be bad.
But who would take action in that situation?
That would be the Federal Trade Commission or the Department of Justice, because that's a question of antitrust and competition law,
okay,
as opposed to FCC preemptive regulation. But I guess I would turn the question around, though. Let me say, for example, that what if the Wall Street Journal paid a company money with the promise of, okay, if you pay us this money, we will deliver Wall Street Journal content quicker to people's mobile phones. I mean, do you think that's an antitrust violation? Is our net neutrality violation? Because it happens today through Google's accelerated mobile pages. I mean, it's literally in the name of the product, accelerated mobile pages. We'll deliver this service quicker to people's phones in exchange for payment from the publisher. Is that anti-competitive or pro-competitive? I think that's a question that reasonable people could disagree on.
Do you think this should be an ad hoc decision based on competition in each market for publishers? Maybe you have a certain standard based on their dynamics, but you're saying you should look at that in each case.
It should be case by case, and it should apply across the entire internet economy.
The thing people worry about, as you know, is, let's take AT&T. They're launching HBO Max. Now, this is a different case. This would be, they're a broadband company. They have broadband customers, and now they've got the streaming service. Could they sort of make their HBO Max thing work a little bit better on AT&T than a rival service? That, again, is that something you'd have a problem with and you think the FTC would intervene on if it happened?
Again, this is a classic antitrust question. I mean, vertical integration has presented these questions as long as antitrust law has been around, and there are well-established doctrines to handle that issue on a case-by-case basis. But for the FCC to preemptively say every single one of these arrangements shall be banned forever, even a telemedicine application that requires higher latency or guaranteed throughput, or high bit rate applications like streaming video services delivered to a hospital. I mean, there are all kinds of things you could envision that would require prioritization that are good for consumers at the end of the day. And so my position is simply, I don't want to ban all of them out of hand as the previous regulations did.
The Tech Live evening session took a closer look at social media's role in the age of misinformation. WSJ's personal tech columnist, Joanna Stern, spoke with Mike Schrepfer, Facebook's chief technology officer, who talked about how the company is looking to use AI solutions to help control questionable content.
As you guys are thinking about these policies, tech is absolutely centric to it. People don't throw things up and say, we're going to do this, and then you get handed a list of things you got to have your engineers.
Ideally not. I mean, sometimes we have fire drills, but we're doing a lot of work in artificial intelligence, and it's getting shockingly better very quickly at a lot of these things. And so what's interesting is, When you have trouble writing a good machine learning algorithm to implement a policy, humans are going to have trouble following that policy too, generally speaking, because it's too complex or it's too contextual. If I have to like look up something on Wikipedia to get to the answer to this, like I'm going to get some set of people are going to get that wrong. When it's you can just look at the piece of content and sort of understand it and then decide, machine's going to do a really good job of that. Turns out people are going to do a good job too. So it's an interesting lens to come through. Because the other thing that technology does is it simplifies. You know, you can have these policies that, you know, just for all good intentions get really big over time and have all these nuances and additions for all these issues. And then, again, somebody has to implement that, a person or a machine. And all those little nuances complicate the implementation. And so just trying to make sure we're, again, getting the nuance that people care about right and something I can actually have a chance of implementing.
With the political ads specifically, it's interesting you bring up AI versus humans. I mean, is that going through algorithms? Are there people sitting there as they're approving political ads, looking at these new policies and comparing them to what comes in?
I mean, we're using AI extensively in pretty much everything we do at this point, especially for content. Because the big challenge, and even just what is a political ad, is starts with a classification of am I advertising a product for sale? Am I talking about immigration, which may be an issue ad, or am I sort of trying to elect a candidate, which is a very obvious electoral ad? And because we put everything that's in the issue or electoral ad into this ad archive, but not all ads go in there, so commercial ads don't. So, how do we determine that given the scale we're at? I think there's more than 4 million ads in that archive now. A lot of that starts with understanding the content.
Schrepfer went on to discuss the next phase of artificial intelligence technology.
Would you consider, I mean, once you feel like the software, the algorithms get good enough, something that would say or delineate to a user, say this could possibly be a deep fake? I mean, in the same way that you're doing the same thing around misinformation?
Yeah, I mean, again, this is where there's a interplay between sort of policy and execution. And what I'm trying to do is get out in front of having the tools. Because if we announce tomorrow we have a new policy on deep fakes, I want to have the tools ready to go. Or if we see an attack on the platform, you know, I want to be ready to go on those sorts of things. And that's sort of the way I think about my job, is solving past problems and then looking around the corner to think about what we need to be ready for technologically for the future.
Be sure to check back throughout the week for more coverage from the WSJ Tech Live conference. This has been Tech News Briefing. I'm Tanya Bustos in Laguna Beach. Thanks for listening.